It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
That's a great story, really. Hey, this is episode 3 of Two Middle-Aged Dudes on a Microphone.
Right.
I'm Craig.
Hey, I'm Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, I've been thinking about this all week long, and I was really worried about a story we told last week. We were telling the story about the zombie, the dead guy on the couch, remember?
Yeah, he'd been dead 4 months, and his wife was trying.
And we're reading this. We're reading the story, copy.
The cop.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
The copy.
And they keep referring to this woman as a widower, and that's not right.
She's a widow. Yeah.
He would be a widower if she was dead.
That's right.
And it's been bugging me all week. I'm thinking people are listening to last week's, and they're thinking, I don't know the difference between a widow and a widower.
Right.
But I just report the news. That's all I do, right?
Well, I read. Maybe you should proofread. Although it wouldn't have bothered me like it's bothered you.
It's really bothered me.
It has bothered
you. It's bothered me.
Yeah. I've gotten like 7 texts about it.
Yeah.
And I would have just, you know, whatever. Mistakes happen.
So, hey, do you like food?
Look at me.
Well, what would you say if I said to you, hey, I got a knife here. You want to eat it?
I'd say, is there a steak with it?
No. There was a dude who ate 40 knives claiming he had developed a taste for metal.
You mean?
He actually ate.
I had a taste for metal in high school, but I got over it.
That's a different kind of metal.
Oh.
He admitted to eating more than 40 knives, and he survived.
Good grief.
He was taken to the hospital. A team of surgeons removed the blades from his stomach after he complained of pain.
Well, yeah.
Really?
He had a stabbing pain.
Yeah. Whoa. So,
I've got this story.
You kind of took that one from me. I was going to say the same thing.
No, don't try that.
Okay.
I like that. This.
But wait, hold on. He works as a police officer, ate the cutlery made from iron over 2 months after developing a taste for metal.
A police officer.
Wait a minute.
It's the next line. What?
Go ahead.
The next line is probably one of my favorite. It is definitely my favorite line in the story. You want to read it? Or you want me to take it?
Speaking to the Times, that line?
Yeah, that line.
Yeah. Speaking to the Times of India after his procedure, he simply said, I felt like eating knives and I ate them.
Can you do it in an Indian accent?
Because we'll get letters.
I feel like eating knives and I ate them.
Stop. Okay. She got letters. The past 2 shows, you've said something that deserved to get letters, and I'm just not going to be part of it. So let's move to the next story.
No, wait. This story's not done yet.
I'm done. Dr. Jatinder Malhotra, Dr. JM, managing director of corporate hospital in some town, said it was not a usual case. You think?
Come on.
And the patient was stable after the operation. An X-ray was used to identify what was in the man's stomach, but they were still shocked to remove more than 40 pieces of iron.
Good night.
What number is not shocked?
The thing. I wonder how much lighter he weighed.
I don't know, but he's got a disorder. They've even got a name for it. It's pica disorder. They don't know why he developed a taste for the metallic objects, but
I know. I know why. He was iron deficient.
Keep it up with the puns, and you're going to be doing this by yourself. A pica sufferer. This is serious. Okay, this is serious. This is serious.
Knives.
Okay, the guy's alive, but only because it didn't. They must have been really dull knives too.
Could you sharpen this before I eat it, please?
What was that? South African or something? What was that? It was like English mixed
that was
with
South African.
That was weird. Other forms of pica are sometimes people eat hair.
Oh, gross.
Ice, sponges, glass.
I eat ice.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
That doesn't belong in this story.
Again, that's the copy.
One of these things is not like the other. I wanted to say, before we get off this story.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that show, My Strange Addiction?
Yes. You were on it?
And I was not on it. There was a lady that ate toilet paper, like by the roll.
That's expensive.
What?
When it comes out, though, is that like self-maintenance? Does it actually take care of business on the other end coming out so you don't have to? This is a family show. Would you stop it?
Go with the next.
Go with the next. The headline. Can I read it?
Yes, please. I love it.
Parents raise a stink about serial pooper targeting Virginia playground. There's a serial pooper.
And we're not talking about like breakfast cereal. It's not like somebody goes out after breakfast.
With an S. Yeah, there's the parents in a Virginia town are complaining of a serial pooper, in quotes, who has defiled a public park's playground equipment with defecation on multiple occasions. The South Arlington parents said human feces have been found on the Fort Bernard Park playground at least 4 to 5 times this year, with 2 of the occasions occurring during the past 2 weeks. I have 3 kids. One is a cancer survivor. And if you run into something like that and put your hands on it, oh, my gosh, gross. Parent Andy Delafield told the station. Parent said, do you like how I did his character? That was him. Parent said,
I didn't know Andy was that effeminate.
Yeah, he's pretty effeminate. Well, first I thought it was a mom telling the story, and then I realized it was Andy. But I love Andy just the way he is.
It's Sandy.
It's Sandy. It's Andy's brother, or sister, rather. Okay, this is going to get dangerous. Parents said Arlington Parks and Recreation officials have come to clean up. I thought they said come clean.
We did it.
They've come to clean up the messes, but they sometimes leave some behind.
Gross.
This is an actual quote. They poop around the play equipment, not off to the side or in the bushes, and cover the feces with a shirt so some unsuspecting child or parent can pick it up and get a fecal surprise. They actually cover, I think I read that wrong. They actually cover the feces with a shirt. I thought they were saying they don't actually do that. I was like, why would you do that? And so some unsuspecting child or parent can come by and pick it up and get a fecal surprise. Fecal surprise. We're going to get shirts or coffee mugs that say fecal surprise on them.
That's disgusting.
Parks and Rec comes to scoop it up.
Surprise.
And wait, this gets better, okay? We're not making this up. Okay?
No, this is a true story.
This he'll have to link. I'll say him because he does all the work. So let me read this again real quick. They poop around the play equipment, not off to the side or in the bushes, and they cover the feces with a shirt so that some unsuspecting child or parent can pick it up and get a fecal surprise.
Okay, that rules out. My first thought was some homeless people, maybe.
Let me get to the next part.
They're not going to be using shirts.
Okay. Hold on. Parks and Rec comes to scoop it up and leave smears.
Oh, my gosh.
This morning, it was tracked all over the playground by what I can only assume is a small child, a parent told.
The news story on Friday.
Arlington Parks and Recreation officials said the playground has been disinfected after the discovery of each excrement, which are believed to have been dropped under cover of night. Parks and Recreation spokeswoman Susan Kalish said officials would look into the allegations of an incomplete cleanup Friday. If it's placed on natural surfaces such as grass or mulch, we just pick it up.
Gross.
We just pick it up.
If it's placed on
a hard surfaces, we'll pick it up as well and use it as well as use a disinfectant in the area. Staff was not aware of additional issues after its recent cleanup. They are going back to the park to see what additional cleanup is needed. Megan Collins, mother of a 2-year-old son, said she discovered one of the poo piles. It's a poo pile.
So we got poo piles and fecal surprise.
These are the best stories. Don't let anybody tell you in your lifetime that a poo story is not the best story you can tell.
I will print out every story pertaining to poo. Remember the monkey?
The monkey.
The last week?
The monkey was great. And then later on when people tell us that this podcast is poo, we'll say, yeah, mostly.
90%.
It was inside the little stall over there, Colin said. Nobody would want your kids to have to deal with that on a playground.
What kind of little stall? What if they're actually playing in a portalette? And they think it's part of the playground.
They think it's actually like some kind of funhouse.
That's what it is. They think it's a playhouse.
I don't think parks usually have those. So you may keep reading them. You want to read them?
Oh, are we up to the next one?
We're up to the next one.
Dealing with
I got to get past the poo. That story was crap.
There goes another rim shot.
Okay, I'm just going to keep going then, T. Tell me to shut up. Aggressive seagull spurs supermarket evacuation.
You know, I actually didn't read over this one.
A British supermarket. Let me tell you. since you gave
oh,
this
wait,
to me.
Oh, wait. No, I did. I saw this video.
It's a British supermarket was evacuated when an aggressive seagull flew into the store and started harassing customers. Hey, buddy, got a dollar? Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
That'd
hey,
be a great name
hey,
for a band.
I just need some bus fare, buddy. Hey, what? You got just I need Coca-Cola. Hey,
if
buddy.
If we ever decide to change the name of the podcast.
Aggressive Seagull Crew?
Yeah.
Flew, what?
The Aggressive Seagulls.
The Aggressive Seagulls. He struck at least one woman. Get out of the way. Come at me again, see? I'll hit you again, see? A video posted by Twitter, to Twitter by a user, shows the seagull flying around the Tesco store before customers and staff started filing out the door of the market. Really? It's a seagull.
Yeah. I saw the
it's
video.
It's not a pterodactyl.
No, but it, have you
it's
seen
not
the
a
poop?
Tiger.
Have you seen seagull? Speaking of poop, you ever seen a seagull drop? It's not
but
like,
that's not the problem. The problem is it is an aggressive seagull.
Yeah. But they do that. They do that. You never know.
And you this quote, this is the quote right here. Only in Cornwall would you have to evacuate Tesco because a seagull flew in, the Twitter user wrote.
You know, I think that's true because I've never heard of it anywhere else. So it really is only.
The employee confirmed the bird had flown into at least one customer's face. As far as I'm aware, she was not injured, just a little bit shocked. And who wouldn't be? No one expects to go to their local Tesco and be greeted by a peed off seagull, the worker said. And I didn't change that to make that sound nice. That's what the copy says. A peed off.
Well, how nice.
That's so nice they said that.
Yeah. Okay, now I got this next story because it's right down my alley.
Okay.
This was from Dallas, Pennsylvania. I didn't know there was
that's
a place.
Not, you took it because you thought it was Dallas, Texas.
Well, maybe. But anyway, the headline is...
Are you sure it's not Dallas, Pa?
App. Cops say an angry man throws pizza and punches at a police station. Police in the tiny borough of Dallas say 44-year-old Sean Malloy showed up Thursday and began wrapping a chain around the railing outside the police station. He also had a statue and a full box of pizza with him.
Statue of what?
That's what I'd like to know.
And what did he bring the pizza and throw it at him as a gift? Like, here, have a piece of pizza. Have a slice.
What if you're a policeman, you look out the window, there's a guy wrapping a chain around a pole with a statue and a box of pizza?
If you were gonna be trying to instigate something, if you're gonna start up, why wouldn't you throw donuts?
Oh.
Cops aren't mad at you.
No, they would appreciate
they'd
that. Yeah.
No, they may not. There you go stereotyping again.
Stereotypes are funny. Authorities say when the patrolman who arrested Malloy last week confronted him at the station, Malloy thought it.
He might have. He had a lot of pizza.
Malloy started throwing punches and pizza.
Like you're throwing those peas in the microphone right now?
Would you like to finish the story?
No, let's keep going.
Malloy started throwing punches and pizza and had to be subdued with a stun gun. Malloy is charged with aggravated and simple assault and resisting arrest. He remained in the Luzerne County Jail Friday awaiting an August 25th preliminary hearing. He doesn't yet have an attorney.
Well, who's going to take that? The flying pizza guy. Are we done with stories?
I think those were pretty good stories this week.
Hey, we got a top 10 list I think we're going to do in a minute. Do we have the top 10 music queued?
Top 10 music is queued. Ready?
Oh, that is so nice.
What's our top 10 list this week, Craig?
Top 10 most weird world records.
Oh, I'm going to dig this.
Okay. Number 10.
Wait a minute. Number 10, go ahead.
I don't understand what this means. It says largest, and then in parentheses says only.
It means he's the only one that's ever done it.
Oh, okay. Well, that really doesn't make any sense.
Or it's the only one ever eaten.
Now you've already told what it is. Okay, we're going to skip the part in parentheses.
Okay.
Number 10, largest airplane eater with a knack.
You think he has Pico?
Yes, Pika. With a knack for eating things that would make a grown man cringe. Nobody but a grown man. No child, no adult. Including razor blades, light bulbs, and glass bottles. I was going to say Michael, but I think it's Mitchell Lotito.
That's definitely Michael.
It's M-I-C-H-E-L. Michael. There's an A in Michael.
No.
You don't know the date or how to spell.
Look, I've got two A's in my name. It's Michael. It's Michael Latito. I know about A's and names.
Whatever. He holds the world record for eating the largest airplane. To be fair, however, he holds the world record for the only person to eat an airplane.
That's what I was saying.
With a stomach lining twice as thick as the average man's. What's his face?
Lotito.
Lotito. Spent 2 years dismantling and eating a Cessna 150, that's the model of the plane, in the early 1990s. Although he had to take a lot of it apart, with a sledgehammer and a torch. I'm just going to say torch because I'll...
Acetylene.
Acetylene, thank you. He bit most of the glass windows right off the plane.
Oh, my gosh.
Chewed them up and swallowed them. So far, no one else has dared to top his records. Okay, his record. Okay, well, you know why? Because it was stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, it reminds me, though...
What about the knife-eating guy? What if he had a shot?
See, that guy had a condition. This guy wanted attention. That guy with the knives, he didn't know any better. He was sick.
Well, it's pretty impressive that the guy ate an airplane.
It reminds me of Rizzo and MASH. He was mailing a Jeep back home.
Yeah, piece by piece. I do remember that.
This guy, I don't know why it reminds me of that. So this guy, okay, so what was number... Okay, number nine, I'm going to let you read, but number nine is just...
Okay, number nine.
I just don't even know.
Most live rattlesnakes held in mouth. Ugh. I don't even want to be like within a mile of a rattlesnake. Jackie Bibby.
Hey, Jackie Bibby. You guess what people say to him? You don't want to do that with the snakes, Jackie Bibby. Jackie.
Hey, Jackie Bibby.
Say, Jackie, you don't... Say, Jackie, you don't want to eat that snake.
See?
Yeah, put those snakes in your mouth. The snakes are going to bite you. They're poisonous, you see?
Jackie Bibby has, since 2009, held the world record for the most live rattlesnakes held in his mouth.
I wish his name was Ricky Bibby.
In front of a live audience, Bibby held 11 fully grown rattlesnakes by the rattler for 10 seconds using nothing but his mouth. Unbelievably, he was not...
Okay. It changed a little. The thing sounded like they were in his mouth, mouth closed, swirling around in his mouth.
I didn't get that.
He was holding them, but I bet you anything.
I've seen the picture.
I bet there's something. I bet when you hold those things upside down, it does something crazy to them, and they don't like...
I know when you hold me upside down, it does something crazy. Not you.
Did it say they were alive? They just say they were alive.
Yeah, they're alive. He was not bitten at all.
Okay, this one I just don't. Longest time, this is number eight.
Yeah.
Number eight. Longest time of full body contact in snow. This is basically when you've run out of ideas.
So this guy just got naked and ran out.
Apparently set in snowy China.
Those China.
Jin Song Hao decided he was going to set one of the most weird world records for the longest time, full body contact.
Y'all watch this. I'm going to get naked, go snow.
You're so going to get in trouble.
You can't eat no more. That's all.
Back in January 2011, wearing nothing but a pair of shorts, a hat, a pair of rather stylish sunglasses. Why did they include that? What do we care? Song Hao lasted 46 minutes and 7 seconds in a pile of snow. He drank beer and ate spicy curry the whole time to keep himself warm.
Somebody bring me more curry. I can't eat cold.
Seriously. I just want to take a second to apologize.
Where are my sunglasses?
Okay. This is why we're going to be shut down, okay? I'm sorry, number seven, we should just skip over longest fingernails.
That one always grossed me out.
I've always looked at in Guinness Book of World Records, yes. I've always looked at that.
Yeah, but the thing, think about, how would you eat a sandwich with that?
I really want to skip to number six. Can we skip to number six?
Why, you don't like it?
I just don't care about long fingernails.
Go ahead.
Most hula hoopers in one spot.
See, I don't care about number six.
No, but check it out. Nothing.
Nah.
You don't want that at all.
That's
you, want, you want to just go to number five? You want to go ahead and do another racist thing? Most fried rice. Go ahead.
At a fair in Costa Rica in February of 2013, 52 chefs set the world's record for the most amount of Cantonese fried. Ooh, I like Cantonese food. Just between the two of us, I do.
Well, obviously between everyone that's listening. The three other people listening.
All five of us now. Cooked in one pan with a supersized gas stove crafted specifically for this challenge. The chefs created a massive mound of fried rice that weighed almost 300 pounds. No, 3,000 pounds. and served over 7,000 people.
I always wonder about stuff like this. Okay, it's a supersized gas stove crafted specifically for this challenge.
Right.
What do? You get up one morning and you go, okay, I'm gonna cook a bunch of rice. I got to go down there to I'm going to go down to the place that makes stove and say, okay, here's my idea.
I just need one.
I need one. I need it to support about 3,000 pounds of rice.
By Friday.
Yeah, we got that. We can do that for you.
That's racist.
Hey, man, we can do that. That's Southern racism right there. That's just me making fun of everybody.
Number four is awesome.
Number four is one of those things that I just couldn't scrub out of my brain. That would be one of the ones. You know, the only thing that would make number four better would be if it was a situation where it stalled right in the middle of the ride.
Oh, and they were hanging upside down.
Okay. Most naked people on a roller coaster. This is an eye-catching and one of the most weird world records. When thrills and chills are at the top of the night's agenda. I can't help it. I got to do the voice. It just doesn't get much better than the world record for the most naked people on a roller coaster. 102 riders set this record on August 8th, 2010 in Southeast England. To this day, no group has been able to beat this record. To be fair, though, the biggest challenge, other than finding 103 people who want to be naked, they said 102. On a roller coaster is finding a theme park that will let them do it. They just said 102, then they said 103. Yeah.
The next sentence.
I thought you guys quality stuff here.
It is. It's true stuff. I don't know about quality.
Do you want biggest flags number three?
Biggest flag? Well, who cares?
Yeah. That's, biggest aquarium? Who cares about a big aquarium?
Who cares? Now,
let's talk about number one.
Number one, I do
number
care
one.
About.
Why don't you tell us about number one?
How are you on big food? On big edible stuff?
I got big mouth, big food.
You seem like... Okay, let me just say that number one is the world's biggest onion. Now, at fairs and things, we've all seen giant pumpkins and humongous watermelons, but have you ever tasted one?
No.
They don't taste
good. No, because they get too big and they're
just nasty.
You don't want them that big.
No, food should not be big.
No.
But can you imagine the blooming onion they could make with this thing?
I was going to say the same thing. Okay, this is what's terrifying about the two of us talking. I had already thought that, and I was going to say it, and you beat me to it.
This onion weighed 17 pounds.
That's a big blooming onion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bad breath.
Yes. Yes.
No one else has been able to grow a larger onion than Pete's. Pete Glazebrook, of course, is who I'm speaking of.
Oh, Pete.
Yeah, Pete from Northern England. Again, crazy English.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Do we want to do this next one that I picked out? I did pick this one out. I sent this one to you.
You did, yes, and I love it a lot.
So this week we're gonna
change. We can mix it.
We're keeping it real right here.
So what, you don't want me to mix it? Just leave it as is.
I mean, you mean like a dance mix?
Well, no, we got a story we left out of the news.
No. This is a bonus story.
Should I cut?
Is
this
that the
out?
Bonus story theme? I always look at the ceiling when I do that for some reason. Okay, so a guy wants to impress a girl. Let's just put it this way. It'd be a little different from the regular story.
This is a funny story.
Guy wants to impress a girl, right?
Right.
Stick with me, okay?
I'm with you.
You got this?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
You ready?
Go.
Okay. Guy wants to impress a girl.
Right.
Guy leaps from a rooftop.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
But instead of making it to the building he was trying to jump over to, he gets wedged between the buildings. He was stuck 4 hours. I love they refer to him as a parkour-loving paramour.
You know, my wife didn't know what parkour was.
Parkour?
Yeah.
That's weird since you're a parkour champion.
Well,
I mean, if getting up out of the chair and going to get a Buster bar makes you a parkour.
I think in my youth I could have done parkour.
Parkour.
Well.
4 hours stuck. Pittsburgh emergency responders had to pry him out. I saw in the story, actually, I don't know if it's in this, but I saw in the story online that they tore part of a wall out trying to get to him. They couldn't get to him.
I saw that. Can you imagine?
Oh, here, actually, it is. It's the very next line. They dug a hole through the wall of a local Qdoba restaurant, which was fine because nobody was there. And it was lunch hour. Breaking through brick to try to reach the man.
Can you imagine what that felt like as he was falling between those buildings?
I don't know, but it says police talked to the man as they worked to free him. It's like, we're going to arrest you. We're going to stun gun you. We're going to shoot you. We're going to make fun of you, first of all. We're going to parade you around.
You're going to be on podcast.
You're going to be a podcast. We're going to, you know, and so they talked to him. And then he was stuck in a space 16 to 18 inches wide.
Good grief.
Understanding...
That wouldn't be an issue for me.
Here's a quote. My understanding is that he was jumping between two buildings and fell between them, said Pittsburgh Police Safety Director Wendell Hisrich. Basically, he was stuck in a 16 to 18-inch crevice and fell three stories. So he, So insult to injury, he fell into that small crevice and then slid down even further. Did the girl... Was she impressed? To be honest with you, he did a stupid thing.
Right.
What other dudes does she know that can get wedged 16, 18 inches, get that much attention, and be stuck that long between walls in a building?
No.
That's kind of impressive, but also embarrassing.
I don't think so. I don't think she was impressed.
Is that the listener question theme?
The listener question theme.
Wow.
Yeah. You read the first one, and I'll read the second one.
Okay, because you're actually looking up the second one. You didn't print. So, Josh, or does he go by Joshua or Josh? We'll say Josh.
I call him Josh.
Okay, I call him Josh, too. This question needs to be asked to both hosts. If you were bitten by a zombie and had 10 minutes before you turned, what would you do in your last 10 minutes?
Wow.
And could the other host shoot you so you don't eat anyone? Now, as we know, I've finally gotten better at this. I haven't answered it online.
That's very good.
I've kind of gotten so excited about questions that I actually on Facebook that I actually answer the question online, forgetting that we're supposed to be doing it on the show because that's just how my brain works. Right?
Yeah.
But what I believe I told him last week was that I would, keeping with the Buster Bar, Dairy Queen Buster Bar theme, that I would probably eat an entire. We need Dairy Queen to sponsor us because we talk about.
We
it all
definitely
the time.
Do. Yeah.
And
we'd work for food.
We would work for food. And so I think I said I would eat an entire box of Buster Bars, and then you could impale me through the ear with one of the chocolate-stained sticks that were left over.
Yeah. And that's a good answer.
It really is, because I'm going to die with fudge and ice cream all over my face. I'm going to be happy.
Right.
So,
and I would probably spend the time in prayer. To be honest with you.
Right before you jab me in the ear.
Yeah.
So what
No, if it was me.
All right.
No,
that's
minutes.
Your answer.
Yeah.
That's your answer.
Yeah. And then my answer to the second part is absolutely. Yeah, you could take me out. Okay, question number two comes from Mark Patch.
Our good friend Mark Patch.
Mark wants to know, what movies do you think best represents our high school days and the 80s?
Well, Mark, I got to tell you. I want to pretend I got a cigarette.
See?
Mark, I got to tell you, Mark. Breakfast Club comes to mind immediately.
Absolutely. It's the first thing.
Every single time that pops in my mind is anything John Hughes. John Hughes defined a generation. What really blows my mind, though, is that John Hughes got away, that somehow we saw these movies. And if you go back and watch these movies, a couple of them are rated R. And the content that's in them, I'm thinking, how the heck?
16 Candles wasn't R, but some of that content was pretty
rough. Some of the content, yeah. And he's fantastic. I definitely would say anything John Hughes.
You know what I thought of? After Breakfast Club, Rock and Roll High School. That pretty much.
Yeah, I've never the Ramones. I've never seen that movie, believe it or not. I know it well. I just never, for whatever reason.
That's a great song.
But mainstream, I really liked Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Some movies like that.
Yep.
I love Tim Burton's Batman. Oh, yeah, that's another thing, too. You know, it didn't really define our generation.
Hey, Batman, our high school was nothing like Gotham.
Right. So we went to Gotham City High School. What are you talking about? you got Tim Burton stuff. You got Beetlejuice, Pee Wee's Big Adventure. But I just keep coming back to it. If you're going to say it defines, what's the exact question?
The what movies do you think best represents our high school days and the 80s?
But again, I think that John wins the.
Yeah.
For me, I think John wins.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's going to – I think that wraps us up for this episode.
So before we go, as we're going out here, you tell me, what was this thing about Knoxville again?
Nashville was voted like the
freest
city.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that.
Knoxville.
So we'll see you next time around.
Please come back and tell your friends. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe. Please hit the subscribe button.
Guys, that's what we need. We need listeners.
Because Aaron has pledged to punch a kitten every single time somebody does not hit.
Yeah, and I hate
subscribe.
Doing that. I hate it. And review us. That would really help us out a lot.
Yes, and even if your friends ask if it's good and you think it's bad, just tell them it's good. They'll forgive you later. So this is two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Till next week.
And I'm Craig.
And I'm Aaron.
And we're out.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.